Good morning, Bridges. It's great to be back and share God's Word this morning. We are starting a new series on heroes and champions of faith in the Bible. I offered to share the life of Noah, and the best place where we can find the account of his life is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 6, verses 5 down to 22, and Hebrews chapter 11, 6 to 7. And I am humbly honored to have this guy, and when I asked this guy to read for us the text, I don't know how old this guy is, but as early as young that he is right now, this young man, he commits to be following the Lord, and somehow, someday, he wants to become a pastor. He doesn't want to follow the footsteps of his dad, who is an engineer. I don't know why. I would like to call on Gerald to please come and read for us Genesis chapter 6, verses 5 to 22, and Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 to 7. And I would like to ask everyone to please stand in reverence to the reading of the Holy Word of God.
Okay, so I'm going to start by reading Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 22. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. It repented the Lord and that he had made man on earth, and it grieved him at his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy a man whom I've created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, and the creeping thing, and the fowls of the air, for it repents me that I made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. These are generations of Noah. Noah was just a man, and perfect in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And Noah begat three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. The earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all the flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood. Rooms shalt thou make in the ark. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. The window shalt thou make to the ark, and a cubit shalt thou finish it above. And the door of the ark shalt thou set inside thereof, with lower and second and third stories shall thou make it. And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee I will establish my covenant, and thou shalt come unto the ark, thou and thy sons, thy wife, and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort shalt thou bring unto the ark to keep them alive with thee. They shall be male and female. Of fowls after the kind, and of cattle after the kind, and of every creeping thing of the earth after its kind, two of every sort shall come unto thee to keep them alive. And take thou unto thee of all food is eaten, and thou shalt gather it to thee. It shall be food for thee and for them. Thus did Noah, according to all God commanded him. So did he. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 to 7. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness, which is by faith. Thank you.
Shall we all be seated? Thank you very much. I just want to a little bit update Bridges about the ministries of the Filipino Fellowship right now. Some of these guys are around with us, worshiping the Lord. And a few of the ministries that we are doing is that we have a feeding program every end of the month. We are feeding to about 120 regularly, 120 homeless, and sometime we also give some used clothing to these guys. And we also are ministering to these 50 basketball players and their family that are coming to Bridges every Sunday. Today is the last, second to the last of the meeting. Has been an amazing opportunity to meet these guys, connect them to the Lord, and even to the ministries that we have. And we are also having we are supporting 20 children, one of the poorest area in the Philippines, about 20 of them that we are sending, we are supporting. And we also have a church plant in Mandawi City. Mandawi, by the way, is one of the cities in Cebu area, in the middle part of Mindanao, in the middle part of the Philippines. And part of the blessings that I have received from the Lord, not just being part of Bridges, but about 3 months ago, God gave me a woman to become my wife. I was married about 3 months ago, and she is at the back. She stays at the back, but I'd like to ask her to come because I want her to pray. I want you to include praying for this woman as we both are leading this ministry for our church, Filipino church. Can you come, please, darling? When I met this woman about 1 month ago, one of our friends who met this woman for the first time told me, "Now I know. I believe that there's still a miracle." It's a miracle coming from the Lord, and so far, so good. God has been very amazing. Thank you very much, darling. I missed one point this morning about my wife. I forgot to introduce her name on the first service. Her name is Sid. Everyone is calling her Sid or Cha-Cha or Therese. That's her name. So please include us as we both are leading the Filipino fellowship of our church at Bridges. I'll be talking first on the life of Noah. I understand that, like I see, that we are on a series on heroes and champions of faith in the Bible. And I have offered to Pastor Ron to share the life of Noah based on the text that was read by Gerald. Okay? And Noah was not as popular and as great as David, Abraham, and Moses. And he is easily remembered to be the man building the ark. So that's basically the thing that we can easily remember about this guy. But in the perspective of heaven and the Bible, this guy in the watching eyes of God is considered to be one of the most consistent and exemplary men in the Bible as a follower of God, as a husband, and also as a father. In fact, we can tell that when the flood came, his wife, his children, and their wives were saved. And this guy was mentioned also in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 and 7, among the heroes of faith in the Bible. And he was simple and ordinary, had issues in life like you and I, because there was a time when he was drunk and was found to be naked, so ugly. And he was covered by his own son. Shame. And yet, God, despite his limitations and shortcoming and being ordinary, God was excited to use this guy for three compelling reasons. And Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, gives us the first reason why God mightily used this guy for his kingdom and for his plan of redemption. It was because of his pleasing faith before God. If you are going to see the biography of his life, beginning Genesis chapter 5 up to Genesis chapter 10, you will realize and discover that Noah was a man of faith and he lives his life on it. Verse 6 says of the book of Hebrews chapter 11, it is impossible to please God without faith. And it is being followed in verse 7 that describes it was credited for his righteousness that he believes that he has faith in God. He was made righteous because of his faith in God. And righteousness by faith is we have this amazing and magnificent doctrine of justification. Justification has two phases. Number one, man is declared right before God because of his faith in Christ. That's the first part, that we are declared right or declared righteous before God. And the second part of this doctrine of justification is that the righteousness of God is being imputed in a believing sinner. He is only not declared right, but he is receiving the righteousness of God. And so in the life of Noah, the righteous standing that he receives from God and the righteousness imputed in him produces an amazing transformed life. Because in verse 9, it says that it describes that he was righteous and he was blameless among all the people of his time, and he walked faithfully with God. And I love that. And walking faithfully with God means that he spent time in the presence of the living God. And morally, nothing can be accused him morally because he was righteous before the Lord. And so much spending time in the presence of the Lord, walking with him, listening at God when God speaks. And his faith was amazing for that reason that complements and affirmed by Romans chapter 10 verse 17 when it says that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And God's constant presence in his life affected and influenced his lifestyle. That's why he was able to walk with God. Not only for that, but he was known in 2 Peter chapter 2 verse 5 as a preacher of righteousness. He preaches the righteousness that comes by faith in Jesus Christ. As if it's a great package. He was made righteous before God, and he receives the righteousness of God, and his utterances, when he speaks of the message of the righteousness of God. It's a great, great package. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 7 says, it describes simply that God is delighted when we, his children, live by faith in the Lord. For it is impossible to please God without faith. And this is a good reminder for all of us. If our church attendance and even money given to the church offering unto the needy, sacrifices that we make, life group and ministry participation, if all of these things are not done in faith, it will never give God a smile for us. Because the Bible says that it is impossible to please God without faith. And his faith was demonstrated in this manner. Since creation until his time, meaning from the time of Adam, up to the time of his father Lamech, there was no rain yet that happens on earth. Genesis chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. That is the text. It means that from the time of Adam, from the time of Seth, because the two other children were gone, from the time of Enosh, from the time of Kenan, from the time of Mahalalel, Jared, Enoch, Methuselah, to Lamech. And these are 10 generations. An average of 912 per generations. And there was no rain for that time. And so in effect, for that reason, this guy had no idea about rivers, about streams, about flood, oceans, and boat. He had no idea about that. There was no internet at the time. There was no picture. There was no history. There was no Google access where we can find everything. And yet he decided to put his trust and faith in God. His children, their wives, and his wife were saved when the flood came because they believed in the influence of his faith. They believed on the message, the righteous message that he was preaching. I think this is a good reminder and a good encouragement for all of us that one of the most frightening tragedies that will ever happen in a family is when we parents are losing influence over our children in the Lord. And someday, they will be spending eternity in a place where there is no God. Or Christ might be coming tonight, and they will not be coming along with us because they are not saved. And therefore, the greatest influence that Noah had passed on to his family and the next generations of children after them was not the story of the ark, but the saving faith that was pleasing before the Lord and manifested in his lifestyle as righteous, blameless, and a man who walks with God. And we know that Abraham is known as the father of all those who believe. He is known as the father of faith. And Abraham is the ninth generation among the great, great, great grandchildren of Noah. He was the ninth generation. And seeing that, if you try to see the genealogy, from Abraham to Noah, Noah begot three children. One of those is Shem. Abraham was from the lineage of Shem. From Shem to Arvaxad, from to Peleg, to Ru, to Serug, to Nahor, Terah, and to Abraham. And if you see Matthew chapter 1, known as the genealogy chapter, if you see, you will realize that Jesus is from the lineage and from the family tree of Noah. Galatians 3:29 says, if we are in Christ, we are children of Abraham or Abraham. If we are in Christ, we are children of Abraham by faith. Well, history or chronologically, and theology explains that it is in Abraham's lineage that the seed of a woman mentioned in Genesis chapter 3:15 is Christ in Galatians chapter 3 verse 16. It is explained that this was the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, Matthew chapter 1 is a story, an explanation of faith that saves and faith that is pleasing to God that started from the life of Noah down to Abraham and to the life of Jesus Christ. If you see the genealogy chapter 1 of Matthew. And so the best thing that we can do probably, the best legacy therefore that we can pass on to our children, grandchildren and the next generations after them, is not how long we live in this church or how long we have been a Christian, but faith that impacted or influenced the way we live. It's really hard to imagine how he lived righteously and blamelessly and walking with God faithfully when there was moral and spiritual brokenness among all the people, as described in Genesis chapter 6, verse 5, where God decides to destroy all humanity. He developed intimacy with God consistent with what the Bible says, that faith comes from hearing and hearing by the word of God. And probably the best question that I would like to ask, when was the last time that we read the Bible? You don't have to answer for that. We don't have to answer for that. I share the story of a pastor. This pastor has had a member in the church who was so wealthy. She had no relatives, no husband, no cousins, nothing except the church. And this woman was in the hospital for 2 months. And only the elders and the deacons of the church and the pastor. And the pastor was very consistent at visiting this woman for 2 months. The woman died. A day after she died, the attorney was reading the inheritance, those people that would benefit the inheritance. And half of the property, millions of dollars, goes to the church. But one business establishment goes to an elder. The other goes to a deacon. And everyone was distributed, all the elders and the deacons, for all their ministries to this woman. But the saddest part is that the Bible receives only an old Bible. I mean, the pastor receives only an old Bible. And so when the attorney was reading the last will testament, He was so sad. Because everyone was giving something and he only receives the Bible. Well, the pastor needs also a gasoline too. So I can understand the pastor for feeling not so good about the Bible inheritance that he receives. And what was sad for that is that it was given during Saturday afternoon. The following day, the pastor was preaching. And he was not feeling good because of that. I mean, human as he was not feeling good about the something that he receives. It was in the evening, the whole evening, he could not sleep. Thinking that the elder got this one, and the deacon got this one, the church got half of that, and he receives only the Bible. But you know what happened? In the middle of the night, almost in the middle of the night, he was almost tempted to open that. But we have worship at 6 o'clock in the morning, early morning. It was already 4 o'clock in the morning where the pastor was, he had no choice. But to open the Bible in the middle. What is that book in the middle of the Bible? Hello? Psalms. It happens and inserted in the chapter where there is that line that says that, since I was young and now I am old, I have never seen the righteous begging for their bread. And you mean hoping that? There was $1 million check. And the pastor began to be alive. He began to be excited. And so when he started, it was already 4 o'clock. He opened the Bible, beginning Genesis from the first page. He saw almost every page there was dollar check. And so he was reading. It was already almost 6 o'clock and he had to change his attire for the sermon. And he was only up to the book of Deuteronomy. And you know where is Deuteronomy, right? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He was only in the first 5 books. And the elder of the church that were coming early because of the worship, early worship, was wondering why the eye bags of the pastor in the eyes were blotting. So the elders was asking, what happened to you, pastor? Were you not sleeping last night? And the pastor said, I was not able to sleep. I was so excited reading my Bible. There is so much treasure in the living word of the living God. I don't know if we are aware of that. Something that has lasting legacies for all of us. And the second reason why God mightily used this man is not only because of his pleasing faith, but also because of his obedient faith. Genesis chapter 6 verse 22 says that, and he did according to the word of God. We will try to see that. How he made that. And God, in Genesis 6, 5 to 6, by the way, God feels so sorry that he created humanity because of so much wickedness among all the people. And so that, and for that reason, he informed Noah that he will destroy all human beings, including animals. Probably, he doesn't like the morality of the people and also the morality of the animals because the animals were included. And so, but he said that I will save your family, but you need to do something. You have to make an ark. Was it easy on the part of Noah to make and build that ark? We'll try to see and find that out. But before that, I have one question. Was it not possible for God to save Noah and his family without him making that huge, amazing ark? I remember one time that Peter was having a good experience with Christ walking in the ocean. But when he saw the wave coming, he sank. And Jesus said, hold my hands. Was it not possible for God or Christ to save Peter without asking him to do something to hold his hand? Why not just make him like Superman, Spider-Man, or frozen the sea so that he would not sink and he would be able to walk? A time Christ, before the crucifixion, he was asking the Father, let this cup of suffering pass from me. He was saying in effect that, Lord, if it would be possible to save the fallen humanity without dying on the cross, let it be so. The question is it not possible for God to save you and me without Christ dying on the cross? And Jesus said, and yet, not my will, but yours be done. The message is very simple. Obedience and submission and surrender to the will of God. It was never easy to do what God wants him to do because the task was impossible. The project was too big. And I'd like to see and share with you the dimension of this ark. The floor area, according to his estimate, is that it is equivalent to 1.3 million square foot. I don't have any idea actually how to compute that, to see that. But the best portrayal, so we will understand, is that the floor area is equivalent to 21 and a half basketball courts. That's huge. And its height should be comparable to a four-story building. And there is only one kind of tree that should be used, and that is cypress wood. And this kind of wood is harder and stronger than cedar. And the building and the temple that Solomon built were made out of cedar trees. And the practical side of cleaning the construction site, cutting all these trees into different sizes and bringing them to the construction site. And at that time, Noah had no power tools. There was no electricity at that time, obviously, except in heaven. And putting them into different places at the ark. Noah was not a shipbuilder. He had no experience. He had no model to follow. And he had no workforce to do that. And there were some other three instructions coming from God that was totally and absolutely impossible to do. He said that he had to waterproof both the outside and the inside of the ark by using pitch. This is a kind of painting taken out from trees or tree oils. And think of how many gallons of this kind of material that he needs to gather. And as a matter of practicality, there was no Home Depot yet at that time. There was no Home Depot or whatever for that matter. And the other instruction is that he had to bring all different kinds of animals by pairs, including those that are creeping, like python, like snakes. And he was instructed to make sure that one is a male and one the other one is a female. I don't know how he should do that. And he needs to bring in, like I said, two kinds of animals. And probably two lions, two wolves, two bears, and all of those stuff. Probably two crocodiles. I don't know how he will identify which one is a male and which one is a female. Well, he was just instructed to do that. And the other instruction, which was very hard, that he needs to bring in all different kinds of food for these animals and for them. And the rain lasted 40 days. And the ship was on water for 5 months. It subsided totally after 1 year and 10 days. The idea of taking care of all the, I don't know if they have a refrigerator or freezer or whatever. I'm not so sure about that. And how did God do that? And the hardest part is that the ship that he was building was 500 miles away from the nearest ocean. I have no idea how he should draw this kind of boat with all these kinds of animals inside to Auckland. Or which one is the nearest port in our area? With all practical perspective, it was impossible. Right? It was impossible, really impossible. But Genesis chapter 7, verse 5 says, "And Noah did everything according to the word of God." This line is repeated twice, mentioned also in Genesis 6:22, the same line saying, "And Noah did everything according to the word of God." That was absolutely obedience without condition. Unconditional obedience before God. Somebody said that obedience without a price is not obedience at all. If it will not include sacrifice, That's not obedience, my friend. That's why I love that song. I will not give you anything that costs me nothing. Never mind about my voice. But the message is very simple, that we will not give anything to God without a price. And Jesus was very clear about that certain things of obedience. So the beautiful story of the ark is an amazing story of sacrifice and unconditional obedience. That something happened if we obey God. And finally, Noah was mightily used by God because of his enduring faith. When God appeared to Noah, he was 500 years old only. Young. 500 years old only. I mean, probably we have some other guys that are almost 500 or 100. But no one is 500, right? Because if there is one that is 500 at Bridges Church, something should be done to this guy. Obviously the one, right? At the day when he entered the ark, he was 600 years old already. This man is amazing in his faith. He lived a life of faith as righteous, blameless in the sight of men and God, and he was consistently living in the will of God, not just for one day, not just for 1 week, not just for 1 month, not just for 1 year, but all throughout his life. And he was building the ship approximately for 120 years only. And the age of this guy, he was known as the last of the prehistoric patriarch that lives 950 years old only. Because there is another guy that is older than him, that is Methuselah. Methuselah is 969 only. Why did I say only? Because there is one guy among his forefathers that was taken by the Lord and he never died because of his faith. Here's the take. I can live, and you can live, and we can live a consistent, enduring life in Christ by faith until he takes me home or until he comes back again. And the first thing that he ever did when the water subsided, when they landed, was not to find an in and out restaurant. Was not to find the Red Robin's restaurant. Was not to find a movie house. Like, probably you would understand. I missed this for 1 year and 10 days. But what he did in Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 to 21, he offered sacrifices and worship unto the Lord that was pleasing like an aroma before God. But many of us are, if not, many of us, maybe few of us are sometimes so excited, super excited in the Lord for 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, and probably 1 year. And some more than that. I'm so glad to have met somebody in between, to have been married happily for 57 years. Others are hot in the Lord when everything is doing well. Like work is fine, family is great, and health is wonderful. But when the whole world is gone out, life is no longer as excited as God wants it to be. And I call that, brothers, seasonal Christianity. There is a season to be excited, and there are some other seasons that seem so cold. I believe that Noah and his family, they have their own shares of discouragement from people and circumstances. For all those times, he had issues in life like we do. There was a time when he was drunk, like I said, and he was found by his son naked. So bad. But he's just like you and me, a simple woman. I remember the story of Risa and Chris. We have one member in the church whose name is Risa. They have been living together nicely and wonderfully for 5 years. But on the later part of 5 years, there was always conflict between the two. And at time, the husband was so upset with Risa. Chris was so mad for something that happens. And he called his wife. I don't know if there are some husbands calling their wives like this one. You know what, Risa? You are beautiful, but you are dumb. And so Risa, like some other normal women, normal wives, also reacted. And so mad and so upset with her husband. And told her husband, you know what? Probably I am beautiful, that's why you marry me. And I am dumb, that's why I marry you. Inconsistent, right? Let's not be like Chris and Risa. Life is a short and worth living for God's glory. Let me just end this one with a very short story about Maria. Maria was a special student at a certain conservatory school of music. After almost graduation, 1 month before the graduation, our graduation recital, she was no longer seen in the school. Despite a lot of tries of contacting this young lady, because this young lady was almost blind. She was almost blind. She could not almost see totally. So she was not included in the program. Her name was not listed in the order of events. But before the last presentation of that event, Maria appeared and requested to present her number 22 of Bach's musical piece. I don't know what is this, but this is according to record. Because he was not in the bulletin. They did not see her practice her piece. And she was not a good performing student, actually. And so she was not allowed. The teacher didn't allow her to present, but she was begging and even cried that she would be allowed to perform her piece. And the school director saw the event, talked to the teacher and the MC, and talked to Maria, and eventually allowed Maria to present her piece recital. But you know what happened? In between the presentation of Maria up to the last part, everyone was on standing ovation because of the great presentation. And they were all. And after the presentation was done, she was asked how she made it. Then she told everyone, I would like you to listen with this one. She told everyone about this one. She said, my mom was blind, but never missed a single moment of cheering me up and to bring me to school with our driver from day one until the last man that he was gone. That was what she said. Many times I feel like quitting and schooling in this school of music. But she always told me, honey, I love you and I will always be watching over you. And she said, she continued, my mom was sick, and when was in the hospital for that period of time that I'm not coming to the school for 1 month. And she said, she died yesterday. And she was cremated this morning. I have come to perform my piece. Today is the first time my mom saw me with her watching eyes, the best presentation of my life. And everyone was touched, and everyone was crying. Behind the story, beautiful story of the ark, is a reminder of God's watching eyes. If we live this life by faith that is pleasing to God, faith that is obedient without condition, and faith that is enduring. God bless you. Bridges.
Thank you for listening to the Bridges Community Church Sermon Podcast. Bridges Community Church is located in the San Francisco Bay Area in Fremont, California. For more information on Bridges Community Church, please check out our website at www.bridgescc.org.